Grinch steal my Christmas. Oh, the humanity in my best Grinch voice. No, I'm not going to draw some mind-blowing parallel to Whoville, where Cindy Lou Who resides. On the other hand, I would like to take you walking through Whoville, where all the Whos are allowed to steal our happiness, leaving us all Grinchy, and we never understand why. Like the Grinch, I remember having some lonely Christmases. In fact, itinerary was near identical. At 4 p.m., wallow in self-pity. For 30, stare into the abyss. 5, solve world hunger, tell no one. 5:30, jazzercise. 6:30, dinner with me. I can't cancel that again. 7 p.m., wrestle with my self-loathing. I'm booked! Of course, if I bump the self-loathing to 9, I could be done in time to lay in bed, staring at the ceiling, and slip slowly into madness. While that was one of my many low points, it wasn't the one where the Grinch stole my Christmas. In fact, until recently, I didn't even realize he did. So, as Dr. Seuss would say, you're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting, so get on your way. Welcome to Mount Crumpet. As women, we give a lot, but we take a lot too, especially in the name of love. I mean, from either side of the fence, we allow the words of our partner to saturate our spirits more than a soul tie. Okay, maybe not, but you get my point. Sadly, it can either make us or break us. Sometimes you win, but let's be honest, you probably lose so much more. Today's soul-searching question, what did a Who in Whoville steal from you? In conversation with a friend the other day, we discussed music and how it's not what we remember it to be. You've heard me say it before, but I'll repeat it. I'm a millennial trapped in the mind of a Gen Xer. Anyway, I proceeded to tell her how new music didn't matter to me, because I can't dance. She then asked, and somewhat annoyed, I might add, why do you always say that? Dancing is relative. You don't have to be a professional to be able to allow yourself to enjoy the music. She went on quite a tangent about it too. It was apparent I had said this enough times to sit plump on her last nerve. Needless to say, after our conversation, I was mulling over what she had said to me. Then it hit me. I didn't always think I couldn't dance. So what in the jingle bells happened? I used to love music, and given an opportunity to hit the floor, I was on it. I remember being in junior high school, and when the first dance of the semester was called, I was in line, present, $2 in hand to get inside. In my ignorance is bliss bubble, I never thought my brother, who was in high school at the time, would go home and snitch on me. That was one of our many brother-sister rivals that made me wish I had the chops to back up the threat, snitches get stitches. You could bet your bottom dollar a whole Bible study lecture ensued. As a preacher's kid, those kinds of behaviors just weren't acceptable. I didn't care. Every dance after that, I was present and accounted for. I loved music, and it seemed that music loved me. To avoid another run-in with the Is Thine Heart Right with God police, aka my older sisters, I would make myself visible to my father's son. I'd pass his class at least twice before school ended, so he'd think I wasn't in the auditorium doing the butterfly. Even if I only got 30 minutes of dance time in, I was happy. I mean, after all, I had practiced all my moves in the mirror at home, and I wasn't about to miss an opportunity to shake my tail feather. Horton, here's a Who. Fast forward to adult me. I was still very much in the church, but that little desire to live on the wild side had not entirely subsided just yet. I had a solid 2 years thereabout in my 20s where I was no stranger to a club or a good backyard party. You better believe I was the one on the dance floor, shoes in hand, having a grand old time. Fast forward a little more, and I had begun dating a guy I had worked with. It was customary that the year-end Christmas party featured the island's most sought-after DJ. My dance buddy slash co-worker and I couldn't wait to hit the dance floor. While she was a far better dancer than me, that didn't stop the show. From soca to dancehall to reggae to that down-home Bahamian flavor, ooh child, we were gonna need some Bengay after this. From that first beat drop till the last nail knocked, it was like Angela and Marshall say, party done. I'm painting this very vivid picture for you because what happens next is so deeply rooted that I believed I made this proclamation on my own. This was the night that I didn't realize the Grinch stole my Christmas. After the party, Bay and I get to the car, and on the drive home, as expected, we were discussing the party. Things like who won awards and the politics behind it all, the nice prizes they had, and how some people seem to be born lucky because they win all the time. Of course, he was reserved, merely sitting and watching the whole night. This is one of those rare relationships where I was the extrovert and the fella the introvert. Anyway, he agreed with me that it was a great party. The food was on point, the ambience was festive, the music was tight. But, Raquel, you do know you can't dance, right? Now what now? I was dumbfounded, and I mean speechless, which even back then was hard to do. I beg your pardon, sir? No one at any point in my life had ever said this to me. And like I said in a previous blog, I was a liturgical dance princess. All my partners told me for a chubby girl, I could move. Holiday who be whatty? Needless to say, that night a seed was planted. A whole forest grew at warp speed. And now, some 16 years later, the thought of not being a good dancer is a sturdy oak tree. I no longer did something because someone told me I couldn't. So much so that I believed it wholeheartedly. It became one of those things that is what it is. From then to now, I've not danced again. I never went on another dance floor, and I started finding every excuse not to dance in church. And even when I led worship, to this day, I have a 1-2 step because my spirit was paralyzed into believing it couldn't move as I thought it could. If ever the music moved me, I was always sure to give my disclaimer. Ja, I can't dance, but I like this song. So that people looking at me won't think I was unaware of my inability. I mean, after all, folks of my pigmentation pride ourselves on our innate oneness with rhythm. Otherwise, it's like that 90s movie assumption that white men can't jump. Well, beloved, I ask you, who has told you you couldn't do something and now your life has not flourished? While dancing is not a life goal or necessity, the lesson in this is how we let people yoke us into being bound by their vision of who we should be and not who we are. Surely, I believed this man. After all, we were in love, and he wouldn't lie to me, right? In his defense, I'm not bashing him. I'm gonna chalk this up to youth. Honestly, I don't know if it was a control mechanism or an unbiased opinion. Nonetheless, I allowed his words to take root, grow, and cripple me into numbing a part of my innate being. Who told you that? All this reminded me of Adam when he hid from God. God asked him, "Who told you you were naked?" So I'm asking you, who told you you're trash? Who told you you were unfit to be tied or not wife material? Who told you you'd never find someone to love? Or that you are difficult to love? Who told you you are not considerate and the things that you did weren't thoughtful? Who told you they deserved better than you? Who told you you were too fat or not pretty enough? Who told you you're a liability and not an asset? Who told you you're less than amazing? Who told you you are not good enough or that you simply aren't enough? Who told you you are just like your no good pa or your wayward ma? Sir, ma'am, who told you these lies? My friend went on to say, I wish my friends can see the queens that they are. You girls are amazing in every way. Yet you let mediocre dudes try run y'all. Woo, child, she was the sassy scribe that day, and I needed to sit in the corner. I understood every word she said because I'd be that person saying all these things to someone else. Isn't that just like us to not know the treasure we are inside, but it takes someone from the outside looking in to remind us of our worth? I'm not saying be arrogant and think you are unflawed. I'm saying know who you are. Eve was made in absolute perfection. I mean, taken from the rib of the man. Talk about if soulmate and my rib was a person. Yet, she let some slick-talking vermin tell her she needed to be more than she already was. Hear me. If you've never heard me before, regardless of what Dingham told you, you are amazing, fearfully and wonderfully made. If you know you've been the best you could be to a dude or a chick, they can unfriend you, block you, avoid you, but honey, they can't unforget you. Now y'all know I'm an equal opportunity fusser. If you were the worst, they still can't unforget you. So decide which indelible mark you're going to leave. What's that stench? It's fantastic. I'm sorry that today's piece is not about Christmas in the conventional sense. Hey, I'm not wired regular. All I came to do is remind you why Jesus even had to be born. His display of love through his sacrifice was too great to allow someone else to destroy the value and gift he's placed on and within you. Look here. Unwrap the gift of you this Christmas. Reintroduce yourself to yourself. Like Grinchy said, it came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. Maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. Go ahead and fall in love with Jesus this Christmas, and I promise, humanity won't have a chance to steal anything that's a must from you. Happy holidays from my house to yours.